This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, wow. I have a really great program today. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be talking to Chip Walter from Nat Geo. I love National Geographic books, and I'm really excited to be talking to him about this book called Immortality. But right now, I'm going to talk to an author who I am so happy to have her on the program because she is a good friend of someone who is also a good friend of Joy on Paper. And so I'm really happy to welcome Casey. Donis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I pronounce it right, right? You're saying
it
done. Okay, Donis. Well, you know, I am so thrilled to be talking to you because, as you know, Carolyn Hart is just one of the authors that is so beloved by me. She was one of my very first guests, and I really owe her so much, and as do so many authors, don't they?
Oh, gosh. Well, I certainly owe her so much, too. She and I are fellow Oklahomans, and that's how kind of we got to know one another, because I live out here in Arizona, in the Phoenix area in Arizona, and we have a very famous mystery bookstore out here called Poison Tin Bookstore, and we were put together on a, we both had books out at the same time, and we were put together on a program. At that, and since we were both Oklahomans, I offered to come and pick her up at the airport. So we became good friends. This has been nearly 15 years ago now. We became very good friends, and now she's moved back to my hometown in Tulsa. And I just saw her just recently, as a matter of fact. But yes, she's just the dearest person that ever lived, and has done more for the writing community, especially the mystery writing community, than anybody I can think of. She's just a wonderful person.
She is terrific. Of course, she is a Mystery Writer of America Grandmaster, and well deserved because she is just. You know, I've discovered as I've been doing this show almost 5 years that, in general, writers are very helpful to each other, but particularly mystery writers. I find that they really want to help each other, love to encourage each other. And, of course, in Carolyn's case, she promotes authors actually in her books. So it really makes it it's so wonderful for an author to be recognized in one of her books.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got to be in one of her books, too. What the fun of it was the bookstore series that she does in South Carolina, is trying to figure out on those pictures. She has portraits on the wall of the bookstore with scenes out of everyone's, out of mystery novels, and you're supposed to try and guess what novel it is, and for somebody like me who knows everybody, it's really fun to try and figure out who everybody's book is.
Well, of course, that's her.
She's just wonderful. And you're right about the mystery community, too, because much to my surprise, I discovered that not every genre, the authors are like that. But the mystery community is incredibly supportive and helpful.
They are. It's true. It's not all of the groups are the same. And in the case of the mystery writers, they really do band together and really help each other. And Carolyn's books, of course, based on Death on Demand. Annie Lawrence is the owner of a bookstore. So she always mentions, you know, at least a half dozen, maybe a dozen authors in each book. And
oh, yeah.
I discovered many authors that I had not read I discovered because of she mentioned them, and you know, I figured if Annie Lawrence likes them, I'm gonna like them. So it's really wonderful. I think it's just a wonderful and generous thing to do. Yeah. And I just want to say also about her, as I said, she was one of my first guests, and a few days after she was on the program, I received two enormous boxes filled with autographed books and autographed CDs to share with my listeners.
Oh, how fun.
I was so amazed that anyone would be so thoughtful. You know, I had just started the program and I was sort of scared. I didn't know what I was doing exactly. And I tell you, that changed my whole attitude, because I thought, well, if an author can be so sweet and so wonderful and so kind and thoughtful, this is going to be really a lot of fun to do this show. So, you know, we are just both very lucky to know her, and I'm just always honored to get to talk to her. And, of course, she loves your books. She's a great fan of yours.
Yeah, she's been tremendously helpful to me. Yeah.
And
like I said, too, we both have kind of the same background. So the first series that I did, a 10-book series, it was set in Oklahoma. And it's set in Oklahoma in the 1910s.
That's your famous Alifair Tucker mysteries.
Yeah, the Alifair Tucker series.
I mean, those are very famous and just wonderful, wonderful books. And this new book, which is called The Wrong Girl, comes from that series.
Yeah, spinoff of that.
Yeah, spinoff.
Yes, that's right.
So
I decided, because I had written, you know, the first series was set in the 1910s, and it, you know, featured a middle-aged woman who had 10 children and lived on a farm out in the middle of nowhere. And the series started in 1912, and I moved forward year by year, and I featured a different one of her 10 children in every book. And then in 2018, the 10th book that I wrote was set in 1919. So once I get done with that one, that's about one of her sons returning from World War One, and of course he's not the same as he was. And after I got finished with that book, I decided, well, what to do next? And I'm thinking, well, it's 1920, and the world is changing. And I'm thinking, well, I've got her older children. Many of her older children are settled and married and have kids of their own, but the younger kids are coming of age in a whole different world. You know, the world has changed. They've had the war, and they've had that enormous flu epidemic, and the United States is becoming a big new power, and culture has changed. And so I decided, well, you know what? Sometimes kids don't just grow up to be the people you wish they would. So I thought, what would happen to somebody who was raised in that environment but decided she wanted to, you know, she developed a lust after adventure.
And took off for Hollywood, because in the 1920s, I mean, this was so many farm girls and country girls. I mean, the beginning of the films, seeing the films, they started imagining themselves up there on the screen, and thousands and thousands of young girls headed for Hollywood. And I think you hit it right. I mean, it's just a perfect idea, because this is an exciting time in Hollywood. So many things are happening. As you said, the culture's changing. There's prohibition coming. All sorts of things are happening. The Roaring Twenties. Can you believe it's 2020 already?
I know, it's 2020.
It's 2020. It's crazy.
100 years, exactly. It's unbelievable.
So I think this was such a clever idea on your part. Take her out of Oklahoma, get into a completely different and new environment, and it really works. The Wrong Girl is a really fun book to read. I love the way you've developed the character. So you can tell us what you want to tell us about The Wrong Girl without, you know, giving anything away. But
what was interesting to me was when I got this idea, you know, ideas, it's kind of magic how these ideas come to you. It's almost like you can't take credit for it. It's just, they just, God bestows them upon you, you know. But, you know, here I'm thinking I'm going to start this new series, and so I have to do a lot of research, because for the last untold years I've written about the same characters in the same place that I know very well, so I have to do a whole lot of research and develop new characters and go to a new place, you know, and everything. So one way to do the research for the 20s was I started watching a bunch of silent movies that were set in the era. And just it came to me like a bolt out of the blue that that's where she should end up in the movies. Also, I had written in an earlier book that this particular girl was fascinated with the movies. So I decided I was going to make the book be like a silent movie, in that instead of chapter headings, I have intertitle cards like in a movie. And I wanted it to be, you know, kind of overblown and end on a cliffhanger and have a like a mustache twirling villain. And I wanted it to be like a silent movie. And she's a very adventurous sort of girl, too. So she's like her character, her cliffhanger character in the movie. So that was the way that I set it up. And this first book is kind of the background book. It's the setup book for the... I'm working on the second book right now, as a matter of fact. So I'm just going to set the whole thing in the Hollywood with lots of famous silent movie actors, and she's going to end up investigating their problems, and there are lots of problems that occurred in the 1920s. In this particular book, she's fascinated with movie magazines and meets a young man in a drugstore while she's looking at movie magazines, and the young man tells her that he's a movie producer and let's run away together. So she believes him and does, and ends up having to escape and happens upon a silent movie being made in Arizona and ends up working on the movie and manages to make it out to Hollywood. And I thought what was interesting is that you get all these big ideas in your head and things don't turn out to be like you think they're going to be. Everything works out for her, but it's just not all it's cracked up to be in the end. So it was just a tremendous fun to write this book and to just really shake up myself, because I've been writing this Allifair series for 15 years.
And well,
it's a whole new world for me.
It is, and for anyone who's certainly the Allifair series is fascinating, and I highly recommend everyone you can start right at the beginning. The last book was the 40 Dead Men, and it sort of touched on PTSD and the end of the World War II, World War One. I'm sorry. And so it's just you know, a completely different style, and also different. The background is different, and so it's really, I think, for many people, you know, there's now an entire generation of young people who just love TCM classics, and they watch these films. They actually love to watch the silent films, and so I think this was just a really brilliant idea.
Thank you. You know, it's even a different style for me. You know, because when I wrote the first series, I kind of could hear my older relatives, my grandparents, I could kind of hear them in my head, and that's the way these people talk. But when I write this book, I sort of hear Dashiell Hammett, you know, Sam Spade. It's just a whole different voice, even.
It is. And that's absolutely true, because when I was, you know, I've read your other books, and they do have that Oklahoma flavor, that country flavor. You know, I come from northern Michigan, but we're also the country, you know, I have that country background. Uh-huh. And so, but this is really a breakthrough for you, and I think it's terrific.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad, because, you know, it's worrisome when you do something that's totally different and you have a following. I have a following for that first series, and I was worried that people would go, what the heck? But thus far, it's been pretty good. I did get one woman who wrote to me who said, how could you do that to Alifair? How could you have her daughter run away? What's how mean of you? And I thought,
but
Alifair's not really real, you know.
It doesn't matter because, I mean, it happened in the best of families. And
that's what I thought, you know. You got 10 kids. They're not all going to turn out to be fabulously wonderful. Even though she gets, you know, she's not a bad
person. No, I don't think she's a bad person.
You know?
She needs adventure, and she's
exactly
good.
That's exactly right. And she's thoughtless and 15, and I used to be that way myself.
So. Yeah, well.
Weren't we all?
My goodness. It really, it comes back to the idea that it's 2020. I remember it felt like not so long ago we were worried about 1999 and the turning of the thing.
Yes,
and
I still have my Y2K t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. I think everybody thought it was over.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And I think that in this new series, I think you are capturing that feel of Hollywood, and what it was like in those days. Can you imagine? I mean, well, you can imagine. What can I say? Because that's what your job is, to imagine.
And you can, that's what I do for a living, is imagine what it was like. But you know, the thing is I felt like, you know, she got herself into a very bad situation. But, you know, I kind of had the feeling that you can take the girl out of Oklahoma and you can't take Oklahoma out of the girl, sort of thing. She's very self-reliant, and she was taught to be self-reliant. She knows how to take care of herself, whether she knows it or not.
And she's going to get herself into some dangerous situations, I think, too. And
yes, she is.
And some excitement.
Yes. But she's going to, she has a lot of self-confidence, too. And so she can figure out how to get herself out of situations.
And part of that comes from being an Oklahoma girl, a tough girl, raised around horses.
Yeah, living out there on the farm where you've got to take care of yourself. That's right. And her parents taught her that, too. That's one thing about the Alifair series is Alifair felt like her job was to prepare her children, you know, for life, to take care of themselves. And she did, whether they liked it or not.
Exactly. Well, you know, again, it's just such a wonderful, isn't it just, you know, I named this program Joy on Paper because isn't it such a joy to write and to be able to come out with these characters, as you said, and here you're at the end of one series and you get this clever idea and then you can run with it.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Well, it was really like a shot of adrenaline to do that, yes. However, I do find that I always have these fabulous ideas in my head, and then I kind of suffer trying to. Somehow they never turn out as gorgeously on the paper as they do on my head, and so I kind of suffer trying to make my writing as gorgeous as I imagined that it would be. So yes, that's. There's a little bit of suffering involved with trying to get it to come out as wonderfully as I want it to, but the idea really excited me. And then when I do get finished with the book after all that suffering, and I go back and I look at it and say, you know what, this is not bad. And in some ways, though, I feel like I can't take credit for it. It's just some sort of, like I said, magic that happens on the page. In some ways, as the author, you feel like you were the channel for it.
Well, you're great at channeling. I will tell you that because as I said, all of the Alifair books are great, but I did like the 40 Dead Men, the one about the end of World War One. I think that's a fascinating period. There's a new movie coming out now called 1917 about World War One, and. Mm-hmm. This generation, so many people in this generation don't understand what a really horrific war that was.
Yeah.
And so I think you really grasped it very nicely in that book.
I loved that book. Well, I particularly liked that character too, the son in that one, and I really felt for him. And so I particularly liked that book, and it did pretty well too. So I was pleased with that one.
Well, I think it was fine writing, really fine writing.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well,
I can feel another Al Affair in me sometime, because I've written books about. My original thought was that I was going to write 10 books, one for each child, to grow up, because, you know, the whole premise is that her 10 children, as they grow up, each one of them gets somehow involved in trouble, and their mother involves herself, whether they like it or not. And so I was going to write one book for each child, and I've written 9 children and the husband, so I have 1 child left.
Oh, well, you're not sure. You don't put it that way, because they all have children. You,
well,
you
they have all have their own children.
You,
that's true.
You have grandchildren.
You can go on
for the next 30. You know what? Carolyn Hart is. Well, I don't know her age, but like Mary Higgins Clark is 90. And she's still going strong. So, you know, when you're finished with the children, go to the grandchildren.
Keep it going. Carolyn has a new book coming out in April.
I know. I'm so eager to have her back on, because
ghost book, I think,
one of the ghost books. I love her. I love her. Well, I just love her as a person.
Yeah. Well, she's. I've written over 60 books, so that always gives me hope.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, I mean, that is...
I've written, 12. I'm working on number 13 right now, I have a ways to go.
Yeah, you'll just keep going. And when you have great characters to work with, I mean, the 1920s period is so full of so many stories, and particularly they're in
Hollywood. Well, you know, when I started doing the research on Hollywood in the 20s, I thought, geez, I'm not going to have to make anything up.
it's all there for you.
That's right.
Well,
fascinating.
Well, I think it's just wonderful that you've done this started this new series. And the first entry here. I think it's going to be a great success, and people will I think warm to this character and want to know more and want to find out more adventures that she's going to get involved in. And so I think it's really wonderful. And now you are you have a webpage, which
thank
is
you.
Very very pretty. It's actually
well,
very
thank you.
Pretty.
Yeah, that's just we just redid that, so it's not entirely everything in order yet. But it's my brother did that for me. He's
yeah.
Master.
Oh,
yes.
I like that. It's got that. I love
Art Deco.
Yeah,
you know.
Very, very nice. I thought it was very smart and very nice.
I will pass that on to you.
Now, of course, people can go to the website, which is
DonisCasey.com.
D-O-N-I-S. That's a nice name.
Thank you.
I like it.
Thank you. I was told as I was growing up that it's a Cherokee name.
Ah.
That means my daughter.
Well, it's a nice name, Donis. It's unusual. And then, anyway, Al Affair comes from your grandmother or your mother?
Al Affair was my great-grandmother's
your
name.
Great-grandmother.
My great-grandmother, Al Affair Morgan, was her name. And I knew, actually, the children are all based on actual relatives of mine, and the names are all names of actual relatives of mine. The twins... are both my two grandmothers, Phoebe and Alice. So they're all based on real people. Well, the real names, the characters. That, as you know, as you write, the characters become their own people. But no matter what you had in mind,
that's it. They take over. They take over. Now,
that's right.
One thing on your website, you have recipes.
I do.
I love recipes.
Well, thank you. They're in the book, too.
I know.
Back to the book, because when I was writing the very first one of those Al Affair books, called The Old Buzzard Had It Coming. I had written about 10 pages when I realized that I was going to have to write a lot about food, because if you've got 10 kids and you live on a farm, that's always what you're thinking about, is what's for dinner. And I thought also, that old country cooking, people don't cook like that anymore. And that's the way that I was taught to cook back in the olden days. So that's the way my mother taught me. People don't cook like that anymore, and I thought it was interesting. So I started putting recipes in those books. I wrote one of the books is about the flu epidemic, the Return of the Ravenmacher, and that book is full of old-fashioned flu remedies and foods. That was also quite fascinating. But when I wrote this first 1920s book, I really considered it, but I thought, well, I really can't. There was no way to do it, really, because she doesn't cook.
Well, you can start with cocktails. They were.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought cocktails. I should do cocktails.
They're big on that. Well, I love the website. I think it's wonderful. And by the way, I think that Old Buzzard Had It Coming is one of the best titles. I love that.
That title has really done me well.
It's wonderful. It's a great title. And
thank you.
People, there's more.
That's a good book. The publishers change your titles if they don't like it.
Yeah.
And I really thought, when I called it that, because that's my first book, and I thought, well, they'll change it, but at least it'll make them look.
But exactly. It's a great title. Well, everybody, I want to recommend this new book, which is called The Wrong Girl, by Donis Casey, and you should go to her website. There's a wonderful recipe there for pie. That uses molasses, and people really should use molasses. Molasses gives such a wonderful flavor. I just use molasses at Thanksgiving, and there's nothing quite like it. So I highly recommend it. Donis, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Well, and thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
And next time you see Carolyn, give her a hug for me, because I just love her, and I'm looking forward to April and having her on the program. And meanwhile, everybody, the book is available wherever books are sold, on Amazon and wherever. And go, just look at, I really, really love this webpage. I think it's so beautiful. Oh. It's really unusual, this Art Deco. It's really, really wonderful website. So your brother did a great job.
Well, thank you. I'll tell him.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Donis. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to take a commercial, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I'm just waiting for a call in from a wonderful, wonderful author. This new book called Immortality, Inc. is fascinating, and I should be getting a call any minute. Meanwhile, I want to remind everyone it is the beginning of the year, and it's just really exciting. I've been hearing from quite a few authors. I've been speaking at different writing events, and so I've heard from people who have actually decided to take up that challenge of a page a day and start writing. And so it's really, I just think it's so thrilling to know that there are people out there who say, all right, I've made the decision, and just one page a day, and in a year you can have 365 pages, and it's so, so exciting. And once you get that first book done, the first, you know, big bunch of papers there that you, and I am telling you, you must print it out. You cannot edit your own, you cannot edit your book online. You have to print it out and see it on paper, because that's why I call it joy on paper. There is something, it's nice to see it on the computer screen, but really to see it on paper makes it really special. And it's also the only way you can really edit your work. You just cannot catch all of the problems from simply looking at on it on a screen. Speaking of that, if I've mentioned before, if you're just starting off and you haven't, you know, really gotten into writing before, you might want to start right away with Scrivener, which is a wonderful computer program. You know, most people are using Word, but the problem is once you use Word, you get used to it, and then it's really hard to transition over to Scrivener. But Scrivener, if you're just starting off and you want to be organized and you want to really have a program that really helps you, because it has individual sections so that you can have a section with all of your characters and a character templates there, and you set it up, and then that way you can keep track of all of your characters. For example, I just talked to Donna's Casey. She wrote 10 books in her first series, and I'm sure that she's got a lot of notebooks, a lot of handwritten notes, and a lot of things on computer, because you have to keep track of your characters. You have to know who they are, what they look like over the years. There are so many details, really, that you need to have. So really consider using Scrivener right from day one, and we'll organize you. But you know, right now, I'm just, you know, there are... Gosh, there are authors that you just want to talk to, and in this case, I have an author that I just wish I could talk to him for 2 hours or 3 hours. I'd just like to turn this into an all-day program just to talk to him, because his new book is fascinating, and I'm just, it's such a thrill, really, to talk to somebody who knows so much. I admire people who know a lot, who are really smart. And so when I get an opportunity, it's always, for me, it's always difficult to talk, you know, in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever time I get. So this is an author, I'm going to tell him as soon as he gets on the line, that I'm going to have him back, because I cannot do justice to his book, or indeed his books, because he's written some other wonderful books. But I just need more time with him. I could just, as I said, I could spend the whole day talking to him, and so it's really exciting when this happens. You know, I love fiction, but when it comes to nonfiction is just so great. It fills your mind. And in this case, whoa, do I have somebody who can fill your mind? And that is Chip Walter. Chip, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, well, this is exciting. I was just telling my listeners that I could talk to you for 3 hours easily. I just wish I could cancel everybody else today and say, nobody else get on the air. I'm just going to talk to Chip all day long. because...
Oh, that would be great. Wish we could do it.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to invite you back for a longer segment, for a full hour, you and Dan Buettner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
I know Dan. Dan's a good man.
He's a wonderful man, and he was on in December, and I had a very short time with him, and... Of course, you mention him in your new book, which is called Immortality, Inc., Renegade Science, Silicon Valley, Billions, and the Quest to Live Forever. And you mention him quite a bit in that book. And so I think I'll have a program that I'll have a one-hour program with you and him, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd have a lot of fun.
Exactly, because
his book is different, but there are similarities too.
And there's that same interest in people who live a long time.
Right.
So
right.
This book, Immortality Inc., which is really when I got it and I said Renegade Science. So, I love Renegade Science. I've been like one of those all my life. I've always wanted to watch science, any movie that has scientists in it. I just that was it.
Yeah,
I always
these are fascinating characters that are in the book. I must say.
Oh wow! As I said, we don't have a long time, so it's really difficult to know where to start. But. There's so many funny things. I'm just like, I don't know. People, where do we start with this book?
Well, we can start with, some of the characters. We all have, I think, wondered about, is it possible to live forever? Going all the way back to Gilgamesh and, the myths about, the fountain of youth and everything. It's just something that is in the DNA of all the human race. And my big question was, we've heard all about myth and we've heard about snake oil and supplements and diets and that sort of thing. Maybe, improving your life a little bit here and there. But, was there anyone that was doing really serious science that could tackle the underlying reasons why we age in the first place and look at it as a disease, look at aging as a disease as opposed to just this natural, unfortunate thing that happens to all of us. And whenever I discovered that people like Art Levinson is the chairman of Apple and also was the chairman and CEO of Genentech, first biotechnology company, and people like Craig Venter, who helped sequence the human genome, and Ray Kurzweil, who's a big futurist and thinker, that they were involved, and that money from Google, we're not talking $1 million here or there, we're talking hundreds of millions, billions of dollars being invested, and hundreds of scientists now being put on this problem. I thought there is a really interesting story to be told here, and as I got into it, and I was lucky enough to get exclusive access to a lot of these people, I found that it is one hell of a story.
It is. They used to make all these movies where they'd preserve brains and they'd... I love that movie. That was a great movie.
I actually started out the book, just because that's such a kind of iconic image. I started out the book at a place called Alcor, Alcor Life Extension Foundation.
Wow.
And, where they actually do freeze people. I thought if there was any place in the world where people really didn't want to die, this was the place. And so I kind of begin the story there.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I thought because it's real. I mean, there are real people,
yeah.
Really,
yeah.
That they've been frozen or as animate. Somehow kept.
Yeah, suspended. Their animation has been suspended. But basically, they're frozen so hard it's like plexiglass. So I kind of open one of the stories, the person and how that's all done and everything. But I don't think that anyone really wants to go that way if they can just stay alive and stay healthy.
Yeah.
So that was where I kind of pivot in the book. To those other
real possibilities. Well, Jewish people always say, "May you live to be 120," which seems like a reasonable length of time to me. I've heard this expression all my life. So may you live to be 120. And in fact, my grandfather lived to be 99. And my father-in-law, 96. And they were sharp they were right up to the end.
Great.
They were brilliant. And they were absolutely, they knew everything. They were really sharp. And, you know, it was just age, the aging process.
This is very good news for you because it means your genes are good.
Yeah. And the thing is, so it's wonderful when people want, you know, I think it's nice that people are working on this. When I saw The Renegade, I thought, well, maybe some of this is like, you know, in the old movies where the rich guy is taking the blood of young people to keep alive, and knowing that there are rich people in Silicon Valley who, you know.
Luckily, it turns out not to be that. One of the reasons I chose Renegade was because all these scientists earlier in their lives, they were rebels. They thought outside the box, and that's one of the reasons they became so good and so successful and had so many great accomplishments, because almost all of them later won some of the highest awards that the United States gives to scientists. So these are really serious, outside-the-box thinkers, and that was why I used that term, renegade scientists, because they're different.
But I'm sure there are some rich people there who would want to live a long time, and we'll work on it.
Sure, yeah, there are certainly people that are doing everything they can and spending lots and lots of money to do it. But these scientists are really trying to solve the underlying causes of aging. And, create pharmaceuticals that, that aren't going to go just to rich people. But, there are a lot of economic reasons why it would make sense as a society to keep people younger in their old age rather than having them,
Exactly. We all want to be
fall apart. We're spending trillions of dollars on people that are just, not very happy in the last few years of their life. So if we could extend life and keep people healthy, then it would be a big bonus.
Exactly.
You have all these people with all that wisdom.
Well, I found the Health Nucleus section that you wrote about. First of all, I thought it was so funny that the greeter there is named Virgil. Somehow I found that amusing.
Yeah.
Going
back to the Latin.
Yeah,
Virgil.
I thought that was so cool. I thought, I could see that in a movie.
Good that you got that.
I could see that in a movie. You arrive and Virgil welcomes you, and you go inside and they take all your blood. I mean, it's really true.
Yeah.
They really take a lot of blood out of you there.
Yeah, it was quite quite an experience. Eight hours, but at the end of it, just about anything that can be known about your biology is known.
Now, you didn't do it, did you? Do it?
I actually did.
You did it.
I did it as I did it as part of the research. I essentially was going to research other people that had gone through it, and Craig Venter said, he goes, why don't you just do it?
Uh-huh.
So I thought about it, and I did.
And you did it. And so, I knew that you did it. But the thing is, I couldn't believe that you did it. I don't know if I would do that. First of all, it's maybe too...
But why would you not do it?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure about this. Are they going to cut us off? Because we have a very short time. I'm afraid so. Look, I'm going to contact your publicist, and I'm going to have you back on, because I need more time with you, not just to talk about this book, but your other books, and to talk about this wonderful thing that you did. But I will have you back on, okay? And I just want to thank Nat Geo, they are the greatest people in the world. All of the books are absolutely fantastic. And the new book is available, Immortality, Inc., I have to say it real fast, Chip Walter, Renegade Science, Silicon Valley, Billions, and the Quest to Live Forever. Thank you so much for being on today, Chip, and I'll have you back soon, okay?
Great. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Okay, I had to let him go because he was so busy, so busy. Oh, can you imagine that? Aha. Well, I think it's really funny that he actually went to this place and let them take his blood and for 8 hours examine every inch of his body and record every inch of his body for whatever, so that they could tell him. I guess it's part of this whole thing of wanting to find the cure for aging. If there is a cure, I guess there is a cure. It depends, you know. I think it's absolutely fascinating. You know, I have always recommended Nat Geo books, but this one, I'm telling you, this book, you will find so much in it that he's a great writer, by the way. He's a really great, you know, nonfiction is not as easy as fiction. To make it interesting, you have to be really good. And he writes so, he's so excited. You can see as he's researching this book, as he's going and meeting so many people. And I, you know, of course, he met Bezos and this one and Peter Thiel and all of these famous people who are investing fortunes in trying to figure out how to live longer. I'm sure that Apple certainly has invested a lot of money in that. It unfortunately did not work for Steve Jobs, who died too young. Because, of course, he was brilliant. And it brings up the whole idea of who will, if they come out with these, way to extend life, I don't know if they'd want to go much beyond 120. You never know, though. So some people, I think there are some very rich people who think that they're very important and they don't ever want to die. So you never know. And I just think this book, when I got it, I said, Immortality, Inc., it's a business. Yes, it's a business. It is a big business. And they're putting hundreds of millions of dollars into the research. And that's why I think this book is so much fun. And whether you might think, well, I don't normally read nonfiction books. They're too heavy, or they're not, you know, going to give me anything new. Oh boy, you really have to read this book. I read through it once. I read it. I said, I didn't know so much of this stuff. I didn't know about the research that they were doing. I didn't know about just the general thing about genomes. And he really, you know, a great science writer is a person who loves science. He gets so excited. And you can tell as you're reading this book, you can see that Chip is just like, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. It's like one of those people you meet sometimes, just they're so excited about their work, and they want to share it with you and get you to understand it, and just find the same sort of joy, certainly joy, like joy on paper and joy in learning something new. And this is, you know, the beginning of the year here, 2020. This is the kind of book you should just get it. And as a matter of fact, if you get it, Do me a favor and write a little review on Amazon for him, because sometimes, as I said, sometimes people hesitate about reading nonfiction, so they're not really, you know, the biggest sellers. But in this case, I think this book should really be a big seller, because it's not only fascinating, it's a fun read. It's a kind of book that when you read it, you say, whew, I want to give this to somebody. I want somebody else to enjoy it too. So, so really, as always, Nat Geo does a great job, and I want to thank them so much for all of the books that they've been sending me. And remember, we just finished the holidays, and we're coming up to Valentine's Day in February, which is coming fast. You know, it's just a month away. And I want to tell you, really, one of the best gifts that you can give to anybody. On Thursday, I'll give you a list of the books that I think from Nat Geo that you should order and send to the people that you love, because books last for so long. I mean, people just hold on to the books and they treasure the books. And it's a reminder of your love and your thoughtfulness and your caring. So I will have a list of Nat Geo books that I think every household should have. Everybody, you know, you can get out there and order them in advance. The wonderful thing about of course, the internet is that you can order them and send them on Amazon or Barnes & Noble and put in a card there, you know, just telling your loved ones that you're thinking about them at Valentine's Day. So that's one of the things that I'm going to do on Thursday. Also, I have quite a few authors coming up, but I want to talk particularly about some of the local authors. I have been attending more and more writing groups and getting to meet young authors who are just starting out. And so I'm really excited that over the next few months, I'm going to have some young authors who are really quite incredible and really talented, and they're going to be coming in. And also in February, we're going to have a special poetry program, and we're going to have a half dozen poets who are going to read their work and share with us the love of poetry. And for all of you out there, if you haven't thought, if you say, oh, I can't write a book, start with a poem. You will be amazed at how much fun it is to write a poem. You might start off very simply, you know, 5 lines, and that's all you need, and you can make a great poem. So it's a wonderful way to start writing, because you don't need a computer. You just have a piece of paper, carry a piece of paper with you. You're sitting in Starbucks and Panera's, the airport, and just jot down a poem. And this is the way you begin writing. You start, and you never know what it's going to lead to. Because remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, or streaming video, or just put, I don't know, with some music. You never know. And you won't know unless you start. And a page a day, starting in 2020, at the end of 2020, you will have a complete book. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed. He's saluting me. I'm saluting him. Voila! I should have been a general. I would have made a great general. Meanwhile, get Immortality Inc. by Chip Walter. It's a heck of a book. Bye-bye.